Chapter 35, Monday, December 2nd, 1776. Young men, ye should never again fight against your king. Scottish sergeant scolding rebel troops after the defeat of Fort Washington. I had to wait 3 days to sneak up to the prison. My chance came when Madam received an invitation from a friend who had moved into an abandoned rebel mansion in Greenwich Village, north of the city line. Madam smiled in triumph as she read the note, then told me to clean her best shoes. After the midday meal, the soldier wives helped Lady Seymour and Madam into the carriage. I brought out foot warmers filled with hot coals and heavy blankets to lay over the women, for the air was crackling and cold. The driver snapped the whip above the heads of the horses, and the carriage rolled away. The soldier wives waited until it was out of sight, then dashed off to visit their own friends. When they were gone, the house stood empty for the first time in months. I lined my shoes and cap with newspaper to keep out the wind, and emptied the leftovers hiding under the holly bush into a bucket that I covered with an old rag. I stood across the street from the Bridewell prison and pondered hard. Don't do this. Don't do this. All around, the common folks went on their business, soldiers rubbing the cold out of their fingers, women wrapped in long cloaks and thick shawls. They walked over the ground where the gallows had been built last summer, where they hung the traitor Hickey. Back in August, the Patriots had torn it down to use the wood for the barricades. The British had built their own hangman's platform at the opposite end of the commons. It could kill 3 people at a time. The ashes in my soul stirred. Don't do this. Men stood at the windows of the prison, calling out to those who passed by. Few folk looked in their direction, pretending that the noise came from the throats of the crows circling overhead. Go back, 'tis not your affair. The whispers in my brain pan grew louder as I crossed the street. Madam will beat you bloody. He's not your concern. It's not your place. Go back before it's too late. The crows called and wheeled and beat their shiny black wings against the wind-whipped clouds. They saw everything. I stopped in front of the iron-studded oak door and frowned. He freed me from the stocks. He is my friend, my only friend. With that, the ashes settled and shushed. My arm lifted light as a feather and pounded the door knocker. A giant guard opened up. What do you want? He growled. He looked like he had been fashioned by setting boulders atop boulders. His hands were iron mallets, and his face rough carved out of granite. He was a mountain clothed in a lobster back uniform. Another do-gooder, he grunted, when I explained my mission. He lifted the corner of the rag that covered my bucket and sniffed. You got any fink taster in there? Scrap, sir. The mistress normally feeds them to the pigs, but she's a good soul and told me to bring them for the prisoners. I lied. He grunted, peered into the bucket, and poked through it with a finger. Rice pudding. Yes, sir. The guard crossed the room, took a bowl down from the shelf, and used a spoon to dish the rice pudding from the bucket. And you're kin to this boy you seek? He asked. My older brother, sir, I lied. Always was a stubborn cuss. Made Mama cry herself to sleep at night. Why ain't your mother here then? She's dead, sir. That much was true. The guard was more interested in rice pudding than my patchwork story. He shoveled several spoonfuls in his mouth and chewed while looking me over. Come on, then, he said, taking a ring of keys from a hook on the wall. I'll give you a little time. The sound of his key turning in the lock brought back my time in the city hall dungeon with the madwoman and the rats. Despite the cold, a trickle of sweat inched down my backbone. We walked down a hall lined with 4 doors on each side, and at the end, a staircase. He stopped at the last door on the right and unlocked it. Here we go, he said. The cell was little bigger than the one I had been confined in. It was filled with men and boys milling around like nervous cattle herded into a goat pen. There was no fire burning, nay, not even a hearth where it could burn. A short man dressed in black peered out of the cell's one window stuck in the middle of the outside wall. The man's collar was flipped up to protect his neck. His hat was pulled down, and his hands were stuck in his armpits for warmth. The window had bars across it, but no glass. It was an empty hole, open to the rain, wind, and snow. All turned to stare as we entered.
Girl come to see her brother, the guard said.
Excuse me, sir, I said as he started to close the door. What about my bucket? He smiled.
Needs further inspection.
No one said anything, nor moved until the guard finished relocking the door and his footsteps echoed down the hall.
You'll be wanting him in the corner, said the short man by the window. Show her.
A few of the prisoners stepped to the side so I could see a bundle of rags on the floor. Corzine was lying on the stones with no blankets covering him, nor a pallet under him, not even straw. His leg was still wrapped in the bloody bandage. His lips were dry and cracked. He clutched his hat in one hand. I crouched next to him, unsure what to do. The soldiers around us grew tired of staring and returned to their low conversating. I leaned close to figure if he was breathing. Finally, I put my lips to his ear. Are you dead? I whispered. He answered without moving. No country. Are you?
I nearly jumped out of my skin. Corzine?
His eyes opened slow, bloodshot and bleary.
Can you sit up? I asked.
Suppose so. I helped pull him upright. He winced and leaned against the wall, shaking with chills. Here. I untied my heavy cloak and laid it over him. He protested.
You don't have to, I interrupted him. Hush. Did you get shot?
He pulled the cloak up under his chin and shivered again.
In the leg. My luck held, though. Bullet went in and out fair clean. Didn't break the bone.
He stopped as a man nearby broke into a fit of coughing. I sat next to him.
Was it awful? I asked.
He closed his eyes and shook his head.
You don't want to know.
Yes, I do.